Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Podcast, show number 100.
Can I just make clear, that's the noise that Gareth Bale makes when he goes to the ground without contact.
Oh, we really going down there that early.
Yeah, I was going to say, we were just celebrating the 100, now we've got that rubbish gag to think about.
Hey, I'm going to criticise Gareth Bale until the stars come out.
Go, Stapes.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Podcast, welcome to show number 100.
Can I just say, is that the noise that Robin Van Persie makes when he elbows someone as he walks past?
I'd also like to point out that that is the only celebration that we've actually got of show 100. Other than that, it's
Sean
just going to be...
About it. Didn't fucking bother.
Yeah, oh no. We actually sat down and we thought, what can we do for show 100? We had some ideas and what are we doing?
I thought
we're
about
sitting
thinking about it, but yeah. I didn't get around to it.
But there you go. Right, so for the 100th show, I thought I would look back to football 100 years ago.
Nice.
Wow. So, in 1912, it was the 25th season of the Football League.
Titanic sunk.
Same year, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, good work.
Went down like Gareth Bale.
No, that did not deserve that, Stuart. Sure.
It did.
Can you guess who finished top of the league that season?
Villa. QPR.
Manchester Rovers.
No one's right so far. You're closest with Villa. Villa finished second.
Ooh. Sunderland.
Well done. Sunderland were top of the league. Aston Villa finished second. The Wednesday.
Is that a band?
The Wednesday finished third. Man United were fourth. Other interesting ones from the top league: Chelsea, pre-Abramovich, 18th. Didn't spend much money in a January transfer.
I am constantly told that this team were never out of the top flight, but who finished bottom?
Woolwich Arsenal.
So stop. That's like saying Newton Heath were never out of the top flight. Yeah. It's been Arsenal have been out of the top flight.
The only reason Arsenal got into the top flight was because they were elected. They finished 10th the season before they got promoted.
Dear, so they're a small club, really. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay, moving on to the second division. This is a bit more interesting. Preston North End and Burnley made up your first and second. Okay. So a big rivalry there. Only 3 points in it. Leeds City finished sixth. They were dissolved in 1919 for financial irregularities. Nothing changed with it.
Always
but
the same.
Before the, before the
Peter Ridgedale's great grandfather.
Before the First World War, Leeds City were the prominent club in Leeds, apparently. Lincoln City finishing eighth. Nice to see them up there. Bradford Park Avenue were in 13th place. Still
going,
around. Conference North now, yeah. And they were called Bradford Park Avenue. I found this out because they played at Horton Park Avenue. That was the name of their grounds.
Okay.
Clapton Orient were in 14th.
Now Leighton Orient, aren't they?
Yeah, but I'm going to speak about them later. It's a good reference there. Yeah. 15th, Leicester Fosse.
Well, do you remember a few years ago when Gary Lineker got involved with Leicester and they had a vote on whether they should be renamed Leicester Fosse?
Yeah.
And they all said, no, that's a ridiculous name. What does Fosse even mean?
Yeah. Well, I'm about to tell you. They were originally formed in 1884 and played on a field near Fosse Road. So that's how they were.
Well,
Leicester
then surely they should now be called Leicester Walkers.
Well, potentially. They moved to Philip Street in 1891 and then reformed as Leicester City after the World War One. A lot of stuff happened during World War One which impacted on all these clubs. Mm. The most interesting one out of all, in 18th place, so they finished in the bottom three and they would have been relegated, but this is when the re-election system was in place.
Yes.
So they actually got re-elected. Glossop North.
Glossop North End.
Well, no, they were called Glossop now, they're never Glossop North, they're now Glossop, yeah, you're right, they're now Glossop North End AFC is their full title.
From the Peak District.
Known as the smallest town in England to ever have a Football League club.
Oh, really?
And 100 years ago, they finished third bottom of the second division.
Wow.
They were bankrolled by Samuel Hillwood, who later became the chairman of Arsenal, and St. Peter's.
Hillwood,
granddad or father, I'm not sure which, nicknamed the Hillman, they now play in the North West Counties League Premier Division. Nice. And they're at home on Saturday to AFC Blackpool. And you can follow them on Twitter, at Glossop North End. But that's fantastic, like to have that much history and still be playing. Like, absolutely brilliant. And they only went down eventually. They finished bottom of the league. They might have been re-elected, but that was when the First World War broke out. And they never got re-elected after when their football started up again.
It's
so,
fantastic, the education. This is already my favourite podcast.
One other little thing. Teams back then were separated by goal ratio. Stuart Hoare. Teams were set by goal ratio, which was goals scored divided by goals conceded.
Yeah,
it was only scrapped in 1976. Yeah, goal ratio.
Brilliant.
So if you scored less goals,
exactly,
it would work out better. If you were level and then it went to goal ratio, if you scored less goals, it would have actually worked out.
It made for boring matches.
Yeah, which is why they changed it. But they didn't change it until 1976-77 season. Re-election process was in place, as talked about.
Scored,
Aston Villa won the FA Cup.
Yeah.
And beat Sunderland 1-0 at Crystal Palace in front of, get this, the centres, 121,919.
What? Where?
Record at Crystal Palace.
At Crystal Palace. Yeah, well, I was looking at the attendance for the Cup final. It was the biggest one at that stage. I think it was when it went to Wembley. There was higher ones, but 121,000 to watch and beat Sunderland.
How did you raise it?
Not sure who won the Johnson's Paint Trophy that year. Couldn't find it out, I'm afraid. Yeah. But there we go. 100 for you.
Hey, well done. Nice. Good work.
Let's just stop that now. Let's just park that, and we'll have enough of that. Right. I said that the banners were all we had. The poppers were all that we had for Show 100. It's a slight lie.
I wonder why.
We've got a present.
Oh, it's
which
arrived.
Which has been sent from the Football Association of Australia via FFDL. Someone open that and I'll carry on talking. Alright, don't
stop. It's my birthday next week.
Oh, fuck that.
It's one of you. Just quickly, round the table, we've got Dan Silva, we've got Stuart Hoare, we've got Sean Miller, we've got Jerome Mundell, we've got myself, Jim Staples, and we've got Mike Coxon, who's busy opening our 100th birthday.
Struggling.
Teflon.
Right, let's start with the football. Stuart, QPR, lost the game.
Yeah, that's my stand down performance of the week.
Stand down already, QPR. It wasn't that bad a result.
Stand down, going down, similar.
Yeah, well,
I think we'll be all right. Yeah, we'll get there.
Looking at the games you've got coming up as well, though, they need points because you've got Everton, Arsenal, but then a couple of games after that. Is
some
that right?
Stickers, badges.
Right, what have we got?
What have we got here?
We've got a pin. We've got a pin that says "We Are Football," which is a blatant lie.
One of them.
We've got
one of them crazy rap things.
Yes, this is it. Hang on, I'll explain that. So Lee Sutherland from FFDU, this is what he sent to me. FFA have sent me some launch kits for you guys. Don't get too excited, but hey, it's a nice thought, and they appreciate the A-League plugs. More of that later. The rubber things that look like shoehorns are actually magnetic wristbands.
Yeah. Shock on this. I've got some We Are Football cufflinks.
I had no idea it's not cool with the kids, as their four kids, but I thought I'd mention it, as when you open it, you'll be like, what the fuck are these? I love those. Yeah, this is really good.
Bracelet jobs.
I'm loving these cufflinks.
When you said A-League kits, I did actually think you meant like proper football kits.
Ah, so Sean Miller's disappointed. Yeah. The guys,
thanks a lot, A-League.
The guys from FFDU passed on, and they spent $30 US. Australian dollars. Is it dollars in Australia?
It's about 16 pence, isn't it?
Right, everyone, just calm down. Calm down. We've got a job to do for the listeners. Let's get cracking back onto it. So, you've lost at West Brom, but you've got what the next game's coming up? Everton and Arsenal, and then you've got some games that you need to win.
Three games that we have to win. I reckon after that would probably be.
Yeah. But what are the games? Southampton, one of them, isn't it?
Yeah,
Sunderland.
Southampton, Reading, and Stoke, possibly, or Sunderland. It's not.
No, you're right. Reading, Stoke away, Southampton. Mm. Games you definitely need to win.
Have to. I reckon after them three, if we still haven't picked up a win or at least done well from the results, I reckon it'd probably be looking over his shoulder. And
well, he's got so much backing at the moment. They're giving him tremendous backing. Stu doesn't want Redknapp. I said if Redknapp goes in, they won't get relegated.
Definitely.
I don't think they'll go down. I don't think you'll go down without Redknapp.
I don't think we will, but I don't think he can't spend money particularly wise.
All your business.
There's only one former Spurs manager that you want back. Jerry Frog.
That's what I said. Player manager. Yeah. Get the mullet back.
But there's chat of Redknapp, isn't there? I mean, there's always chat around.
There's chat around Redknapp going everywhere. I mean, the best thing that's happened for Leicester is that they talked about him going there because they've all got right behind Pearson and they're absolutely flying up the league as well. But alright, so that was your stand down. Have you got a stand out?
Probably Palace, as much as it pains me to say it. Coming back from 2-0 down again.
We'll move on. Yeah. Palace.
That would have been mine, in particular Wilfred Zaha. Didn't mention him after the Wolves game where he scored twice. Went and did it again, another two goals.
He won't score for the rest of the season, though, you know.
Well, maybe not.
Or break his leg. Could be the worst injury ever.
Quite possibly. Well, we'll move on to that later. But he was absolutely blinding. Just a joy to watch. I hope we can keep hold of him for as long as possible.
Arsenal and Spurs are supposed to be the front runner, aren't they?
He's never going to go in January, aren't they?
Well, yeah.
Is there any clubs that have actually confirmed interest?
Well, he's a year into a 5-year deal, so we'll get a decent fee for him.
Why did he sign a 5-year deal?
Because
just get a decent fee for Palace.
It's nice of him to sign it, exactly, but it ties him down a little bit. There'll probably be clubs that
doesn't.
It's going to make the fee a lot bigger than it would have been, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. Which, I mean, I think he seems like quite an honest, down-to-earth bloke. He appreciates what...
Oh, you say that. He'll shaft you in January and you'll hate it. You'll be like, he's an absolute wanker, he's a bastard.
He's gone about it a better way than Bostock, anyway.
Well, exactly, quite. And he's made a lot more of himself there now.
Note from that game, Charlie Austin scored again.
I know.
Stone Cold Charlie Austin.
Sorry.
Did you say that's a drink?
Yeah, that is a drinking forfeit.
All right, if I finish my cider, you've got to buy me another. Do I have to do it?
No.
All right, I'll do it. When you finish your cider, shout me and I'll finish that. 15 for the season, is that right? I think it's about. Or
14.
Something absolutely ridiculous.
Yes, 13 and 11 for our 90s now.
But I mean, by the time he scored against you, it was like last minute and it was you were 4-2 up anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
But, okay.
To be honest, at 2-0 down, we never even. No one was even really worried. We knew we were going to come back.
Yep.
Honestly, we all did. Everyone was there like, no problems, Cardiff again.
Why were they making that noise? That's a bit weird.
It's just a Palace thing.
All right, so a Palace your standout as well?
Would be, particularly Wilfred Zaha.
Stand down of the week, podcast stand down performance?
Couple of officials in the Football League.
I'm going to be with you here. Go on.
Yeah, have you gone for? Matej Vydra sending off against Watford, where he's just basically trying to jump the for Watford, where he's just basically trying to jump the challenge.
Do you know the name of the referee?
No, I don't.
No, lucky I'm here. Steve Rushton, and that was the 8th red card he's given out in 11 games.
Really?
Never has there been. It's just one of those refs who just loves the sound of his whistle and loves giving out a red card. And I don't know if you guys have seen this, but the incident goes like this. Who are they playing?
Rian Edelson.
Middlesbrough player goes in for a challenge, wins the ball, and the Watford player sort of jumps the challenge and comes down not even that close to him. And he certainly didn't look like he stamped on him.
No.
The referee ran over, gave him a red card. All the players are standing around just looking at the ref.
So, what?
Both teams are just like,
the guy who was trod on just stood up and was like, what are you doing?
And this guy's just got a massive hard-on for red cards. Eight red cards in 11 games. Sounds like a lad, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Steve Rushton. Man. And the other one, you're going to talk about Barnsley.
Yeah, exactly.
Barnsley got lost 1-0 at Leeds. The penalty was lovely.
Becchio did a Panenka.
Or a Perlo,
whichever
you want to call it. But the challenge was four yards outside the area?
Easily.
Absolutely
ridiculous.
And the guy's
momentum kind of carried him just into the box.
So what are you going, stand down, which ref, which was worse?
Both of them. Oh, the worst was the Steve Rushton.
Steve Rushton.
Definitely stand down.
Man down. All right, Jay, stand out, stand up, stand up.
I'm going to say Leighton Baines, actually, for his performance.
He was fantastic.
Him and Pienaar down that left-hand side for Everton has been creating so much havoc down that left-hand side.
I know
side.
He scored the pen, which was a bloody good pen.
His general performance, he was amazing.
I think. I was Patrice Evra, I'd still be shitting myself about him next summer.
Because he's...
Leighton Baines has just arrived.
Look who's turned up for show 100, Simon Heads.
Good afternoon.
Grab a seat. Are you getting a drink for yourself? Or?
No.
Right, you can get me one if you want.
Yeah, I'm really done. Jim's got down that. So,
We're still going after 100 shows.
It's absolutely ridiculous. You were there for the first. Can you remember it?
Well, it was my idea, this, wasn't it? Do you remember?
He's only been here a minute. He's taken over.
Wait, to be fair, that's why all complaints go to at Simon Hedges.
I know. I've been inundated as well. I was going to sort of print them all out and bring them, but you know, we didn't have enough paper in the
Yeah, you don't want to. You don't want to be doing that, right? Jay is talking about his standout, stand down performance of the weekends. We'll come to you in a minute. So think about what would be your best performance or worst performance in the last week.
I'll say my worst performance now is Luis Suarez for his absolute.
He slipped.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
No, he did not. He dived on the floor. He was on all fours. And then he just happened to just spread out.
Do a little leap.
To be fair to Luis Suarez, and I never liked to defend him, he was kicked an awful lot in that game, and at the same time it was
Hoof, wasn't Hoof. It
was there was a running battle between Hoof and Suarez
because Suarez went in quite late on Hoof as
a couple of times. It was on Match of the Day there,
and he did stamp on him.
It was an outrageous stamp.
He's just
exactly
trying to stamp
doing.
Racist amount of football though. kick racist amount of football, literally just kick him.
To be fair to Luis Suarez as well, he's on the back page of every paper on Monday, and he was pilloried on Match of the Day again, I'm not meaning to pick on Spurs, but Gareth Bale, they joked about on Match of the Day, and it wasn't mentioned
was
until Wednesday
difference.
In the papers.
There was a big difference.
Suarez was within a foot of his person, and Bale wasn't.
There was a big difference. It was a dive from Bale, right? But you can see that Bale's running at 100 miles an hour, and it looked...
He's not actually running at 100 miles an hour.
When you look at the replay...
Now, Gareth Bale didn't need to try and avoid anything. He could have easily stayed on his feet.
Let me finish for a fucking second.
No.
Shut up, Coxon. Right, the point is, you know, we just got this a present from FFDU. Anyway,
where are my cufflinks?
We
You can see Guzan. It's Guzan, the keeper, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you can see Guzan as it looks like he's about to try and leather him,
right?
But he's pulled out. But he's pulled out, and he has pulled out.
What you're saying is Gareth Bale is a pussy.
Yeah. No, I'm saying he's more of a pussy than a cheat, is what I'm saying. Because it looks like, literally, last second, Guzan took his feet away. So he thought he was about to get larruped, because it looked like he was going to get larruped, but he didn't. He pulled away and it made it look like a wanker. Suarez literally just dived and cheated, whereas Bale's just a pussy.
I think the issue is that Suarez is foreign and Bale's only Welsh.
Yes.
Still foreign.
At all.
So you stand down was Suarez.
Suarez,
or do you want to change it to Bale now, or you stick with Suarez?
There's no way that Bale's worse than Suarez.
Because he does it probably game in, game out.
Have you seen the Google thing? I'm sure like everyone's seen this. If you type in Suarez dive on Google, on the drop down menu, it says Suarez dive against Chelsea, against Newcastle, against Tottenham. There's literally a list of 12 or 13 options for Suarez dive. It's brilliant.
He's undone all the good credit he got from, well, not really good credit, but he didn't get that penalty against Norwich the week before, and everyone was like, oh, he's never going to get a penalty again. That was a blatant penalty.
That's gone. That's absolutely done.
All the good feeling towards him. He actually seems like quite a nice guy. Have you watched the Liverpool show on Channel 5?
Oh, I haven't watched it.
And they've been following him and Lucas Leiva quite a lot.
Reckon it's quite heavily edited.
Yeah, you can make anyone look like a nice guy on Channel 5. They do all those Hitler documentaries, don't they?
Oh, he's great, yeah. They show him playing Monopoly with his family as well. they follow Jay Spearing around his house.
Bella's excited.
Well, that really nice house for someone.
John Joe Shelby.
Wait, hold on, can I just check? This isn't Suarez and Lucas following Jay Spearing around his house, because that makes him sound horrible if he was following around his house.
Yeah, no, he's a racist, horrible stalker. Yeah, you're right. Let's put that out there. Right, I'm going to go for my stand down performances. I had Steve Rushton for the Watford game, and I also had the Barnsley ref, who I don't know the name of.
No, I mean.
The other one was Dan Shittu, who was playing for Millwall against Bolton.
Yeah.
When Millwall won the game 2-1, Darren Sennison scored a last minute winner, and when they scored, there's footage of Dan Shittu went absolutely mental. So he's a centre back for Millwall, and he went right up to Owen Coyle and was just giving him portions.
He used to play for him, didn't he?
He used to play for Bolton, and he made no bones about it in the post-match interview. He said, I don't like Owen Coyle. Winning against Owen Coyle is massive for me. I don't like him at all. All Owen Coyle did was didn't really give him a chance at Bolton for whatever reason, which is fair enough. I don't mind the fact that he holds a grudge, but to do it publicly like that just showed a complete lack of class, particularly when the guy's lost his job about 2-3 days later as well.
Yeah.
No matter what you've got.
To be fair, Danny Shittu was stood outside the Reebok when Owen Coyle left with his box of goods going, hey, have a bit of that.
Yeah, but it just showed a bit of a lack of class from him, from a player that's a decent player of that level and has been around for a long, long time. So he's my stand down. Stand out, Charlie Austin, I mentioned, with another goal.
Who?
Stone Cold.
He's
got to down another one now.
We've got to call, when we mention Charlie Austin, we call him Stone Cold.
And yeah, that's the bottom line.
That's that is the bottom line. Wasn't funny the first week, so I don't worry. Stone Cold Austin scored again. David Nugent is absolutely firing him.
He really is.
5 in 4 games, something like that.
He could get an England call up.
You know, they're talking about it. He scored once.
Record for
England, and the other Leicester goal was an own goal, but if the defender hadn't put it in, he would have just nodded it in. Yeah, it was a great cross in.
He went off looking like he was going to celebrate, didn't he?
But for me, Cardiff, top of the league. All this stuff in the summer about them rebranding and what have you. Heide Helgesen, who should be leading the QPR line. I watch you boys against West Ham, and with Helgeson up front, you would have done a lot better than what you did with Zamora and Cissé.
Or DJ Campbell.
DJ Campbell scored with his hand as well. Did you see that?
Marcus Bean.
DJ Campbell scored against Cardiff on the late game on Saturday with his hand. And it was one of those reactions where it looked like a header initially. He actually just punched it, and then he just sort of stood there going, no one actually seen that. my standout overall will be Hyde Helgeson.
Yes.
But other mentions, Tom Pope.
Sorry,
you'll know this. Port Vale went to who did they play away? Exeter.
Yep.
And they won 2-0, and Tom Pope got another 2 goals, so he's now top scorer in League 2. That's what you want. If you're looking at one man to get all your goals, you go away to a team where you really need to win. They're like third in the league, you're second, and he pops up with 2 headers. Absolutely fantastic. Pope's up with 2 headers. I like that. But,
that didn't deserve it.
Mike?
No, it didn't. I hate to follow suit from Dan last week, but my standout's going to be the first half points by Man United at the weekend. It's about time we actually turned up in the first half of the game this season, and we were absolutely fantastic.
Against Newcastle reserves, to be fair.
Patrice,
the centre back.
Steve Harper looked like a third choice goalkeeper.
Steve Harper, Jesus Christ.
Missing Colaccini and what's his face?
It took
Taylor. Perch and Williamson.
Yeah.
Well, really they're both quite highly rated by Newcastle fans as squad players. They do a shift, but
they're right.
I don't even think Perch or Williamson were that bad. Harper. It says a lot that David Hare wasn't the worst goalkeeper on the pitch because he had a stinker. But Steve Harper was
wasn't in, I don't think.
But
I don't think
it wasn't conclusive anyway. In these days, you can't really moan about these because goal line technology is coming in.
So Harper was massively let off by Welbeck as well because he should have either put that in or crossed it to Van Persie.
But to be fair, Welbeck was off balance. He had Harper on top of him. I don't think there was a lot he could have.
He could have gone down as well. Actually,
he could have gone down.
He could have gone down and possibly got a penalty.
Top of him gone down. No.
But
so that's your stand down,
Tony Pulis. I'm sick of Tony Pulis.
No, come on.
Tony Pulis a few weeks ago came out and said how happy he was that Peter Crouch cheated for a goal. And then at the weekend he says Luis Suarez should be banned, diving's cheating. Well, I'm sorry, but you can't.
Is he wrong, though?
You can't say that you're happy for your team to cheat and other team can cheat.
It's called selective memory. I'm sick of him. He's an idiot. Every manager
Alex
Ferguson never does that.
Yeah, he's not got a
selective. Alex Ferguson does it, yeah, all the time.
So your stand down is Alex Ferguson?
I'm sick of Tony Pulis just barking on. He is... I don't rate him particularly as a manager. He's kept Stoke up playing horrible football.
You can't not rate him as a manager.
Yes, surely.
Really?
What's he done with Stoke? He's not taken.
He's gone into the fucking Europe.
Yeah, and what have you done?
He's taken Stoke into Europe.
What have the Romans ever done for us?
Where are all these Belgians coming from?
That's like saying Glenn Rhoda took Newcastle into Europe. I mean, I don't think getting into Europe, finishing second in the FA Cup, is a major achievement. It's great, well done, but he's not taken forward as a club or a team. He's gone to the Premier League and they've stagnated.
How have they improved in the Premier League? Last season
they finished 14th.
The season before they got to the FA Cup semi-final
and finished 10th.
Yeah,
they've not improved. They've stagnated.
They've had one bad season.
They have nothing.
They've had one average season. Yeah, and it's not even a bad season.
A good season is full bottom.
Right. Alan Kirbishley's reign at Charlton. Charlton fans said exactly the same thing.
Alan Kirbishley consistently finished in the top half, though.
They always wanted rid of him. They were...
Don't mind. They're idiots like me, but...
but Tony Pulis is a saint.
I don't rate Tony Pulis, if I'm honest. I don't think he's got...
We know that. You have been honest.
I think he'd struggle elsewhere.
All right.
I've got a performance of the weekend. I don't know if anyone's mentioned it before I turned up. Sterling Albion. Has anyone mentioned Sterling Albion?
Oh, they beat Rangers,
they beat Glasgow Rangers.
Yeah.
They beat them 1-0.
And they're only the fourth biggest club in Stirlingshire, so... they are.
Was the manager not there because he was at a wedding, or was that just Twitter rumours?
No, that's true, yeah.
Really?
Brian Alisson scored the goal after 9 minutes, so they had 81 minutes to
hold
on.
I'll tell you how they did it. And you can ask Rangers Ian Black, because there's a wonderful clip of him getting... You know when they had the old Kung Fu kick on Section on Soccer AM? This was a proper kung fu kick to the chest that he got some nice third division studs right in his chest. I think there was a lot of
agricultural football.
Is there
in the Scottish third division? Rangers are third in the table at the moment. That's not where
they've not won a game away from home in the league.
Have you not done your stand up? Sorry, Daniel, I didn't realise. Go on.
Thanks, mate. Right, well,
if it's Spurs, then...
No, it's not.
Good.
My stand...
Because they only beat Villa.
If it's Gareth Bale or Tony Pulis, I'm going to kick off.
But I would just like to say that out of all the pubcasters that it could be relevant against, I am 3-0 up. We've done QPR, we've done United, we've done Villa.
Okay, good. Well done. Well,
thanks.
You've just alienated yourself.
Are you still, you're still below us in the leagues. That's fine.
Good chaps. Fucking hell. Right. My standout performance has got to be...
Mr. Grumpy.
Mad Dog Allen.
All enthusiastic.
Yeah, I hate it. Mad Dog Allen has got to be my standout performance of the week.
Who, sorry?
Mad Dog Allen.
Martin Allen.
Purely for giving... for getting post office worker Donna into the changing room.
Do you know he's taken the place of the kid man?
Yeah.
But so do you know how this story made the press?
How?
Me. True story, Simon?
True story, you come over with the match day programme.
I took the Jills programme in and I give it to the Mirror Football guys and to Si and said, don't think this has been in the press. So they've run it and now it's everywhere. Where did you see it?
You can't escape remember. It.
Yeah, it's everywhere. It's like Jimmy Savile. Massive, massive news. They're going to fly a plane past in a minute. It's all about it.
But
yeah,
I love
go
it.
On,
I
talk,
love it.
The tell my that, story.
Basically, tell you that. I don't want to now. I'm going to change my mind.
No, go on. You were really excited.
It's a good story, though.
Apparently, post office worker Donna. We haven't even got a surname, have we?
No,
post office worker
just Donna.
Who's a season ticket holder.
Maybe post office worker's her first name.
Could well be. Apparently, because she bubbled and oozed happiness and had such a positive attitude that he took her into the dressing room, introduced her to all the players, had some photos, and she gave a speech for a team tour.
Apparently, she was so impressive, he invited Donna onto the team coach as well.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what, I've, what I've read. No, it's true. There you go. There's the programme notes.
Impressive in what way?
Hey, I love
not
it.
Like that. Yeah. No, but she took him in and she said, oh, you're really good, you're going to win 2-1.
2-1, they
got
won 2-0.
They won 2-0, so yeah. Kitman's back in.
I'm going to lump a fiver on Donna as the next Gillingham manager. I reckon Martin Allen's days are numbered now.
I reckon Allen will take him with her when he gets a better job than Gillingham, to be honest. Him and Donna, the twosome.
My
so that's your standout, is Martin Allen?
I think it's fantastic.
Or Donna?
Donna. My stand down performance is not only because he's epic name, Juan Carlos of Betis. Have you seen this?
No.
Juan Carlos of Betis at the weekend. They're playing Sociedad, and he's gone to take from the left hand side. He's gone to take an outswinging corner with his left foot, being a left footed player, and he's run up to take the corner, and he's completely missed the ball. And broken the corner flag in half. literally, just completely taken out, missed the ball, taken out the corner flag. Literally said to the ref, though, who went, to be fair, ref, didn't touch the ball.
Yeah,
so got another chance to take it again, but they had to get a replacement corner flag because he absolutely, completely lared up the corner flag, broke it in half. Fail.
All right, fair enough. Right, England squad. Looking at it, is there any players that you would definitely have in there?
Yes.
That aren't in there? Go on, who are you going to say?
Well, I was originally going to say
Lennon's back in, isn't he?
Yeah.
And they called up Shelby as well.
Shelby and Sterling, wasn't it?
No, Shelby
Sterling?
And Bertrand.
No, Sterling and Bertrand. Sorry, Sterling
okay,
and Bertrand.
Yeah, yeah.
I like what
Sterling's been left for the under 21.
I like what Hodgson's doing, calling in players around the outside of the squad one at a time to give them some experience around the squad.
Yeah, he's made clear that they probably won't play, but it's about getting experience, which they've done for quite a few.
Originally, I thought of Stephen Corker and Adam Lallana, but I think it's fair play give Shelby a chance. Lallana's been in with the squad; he'll probably get another chance going forward. And Corker's needed for the under 21s in their qualifications. I would have liked to see Darren Bent back in there.
Why?
I know.
Why?
For what's he done?
Well, he's not having a great season at Aston Villa, but he's a goal scorer and he's an established England striker. And when we're playing San Marino, I think you're better off giving these players a bit of a run out.
Defoe. That's what Defoe's there.
I'm not saying you should replace Defoe or Carroll or Welbeck or Rooney, but why not have him in there and play?
Will he play instead of
against San Marino? Yeah, why not?
Why not? He's got four, because you've just named four strikers. Well,
yes, but you don't need to play these players in the game against San Marino. We're going
to
beat San Marino.
What good does it do playing Darren Bent?
Well, don't count.
It gives him a chance.
Gives him a run out because he ain't getting one.
It gives him a run out. It gives him some confidence. I was going to say the same for Agbon Lahore as well. Yeah. Why not let them know you're in the thoughts?
No, but this is still a serious game. This is still a qualifier that we have to win.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. You save the big players for the Poland game. But the other one I thought of was Carl Jenkinson. And the main reason I think of him is that he could play for Finland.
But I think he's
planning to do it in the next friendlies against...
But friendlies don't count for anything. You play him in a qualifier, he can't play for Finland. If you play him in a friendly, he can still play for Finland.
Can he?
Simon Heads, you've got some England news.
I have. Previously, pundit Garth Crooks has come out with an interesting take on England's squad. He recommended that Roy Hodgson pick James Morrison, a West Brom midfielder.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's 23 caps for Scotland, James Morrison.
What a
genius. Absolutely genius. Yeah. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
They got it out pretty quickly, didn't they?
Yeah, unfortunately, we spotted it before they did that. So,
what was this on? What did he say it on?
Hang on.
It was on his team of the week.
He said, previously team of the week. Where are we? Hang on a minute, he says, checking his shonky phone.
Yeah. Basically,
he just used his BBC Team of the Week column to suggest that Morrison would soon be forcing his way into Roy Hodgson's thoughts. Well, that's
maybe he knows he's taking back. Maybe he's going back to club football, and Garth Brooks has already got a heads up on it.
Yeah. Exactly. He might be that.
He
far
might be one step ahead of the game. He's definitely not, is he? He's quite backward in many ways.
But yeah, so you know. Crooks next week is going to be recommending Ali McCoist.
Player manager. Line, yeah. While we've got you, Si, what was your take on the whole Tubegate thing and him announcing to fans? And, yeah.
Sorry, say that again.
Rod Hodgson letting slip to the fans about Ferdinand that wouldn't be back in his squad.
Yeah, he shouldn't have done it. It's a bit naive. I mean, I'm pleased, and it was good that he's on the Tube for a start.
Yeah, well, that's quite, like that was my first reaction.
Yeah, it's right. He's talking to people
but
as well.
You're the England manager. The most important relationship you have is the relationship you have with your players. And if he's going to tell someone that Rio Ferdinand's not playing for England, the first person he should tell is Rio Ferdinand.
Probably,
so
yeah.
So having done that, then fine. Once he's out there, he can then talk about it. But
do we know for sure that he didn't do that before?
Rio's not leapt to his defence, has he?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
We all
if he had just been told he wasn't playing for England again, yeah, he's not going to leap to his defence.
Exactly. No, exactly. He's still not going to be his favourite person in the world.
Yeah, I think
it's the right decision. I don't think he should get that. When you look at the age he's going to be...
It's the right decision.
We've got defenders coming through as well, haven't we? Exactly. That's the thing.
I mean,
when you say coming through, they're now established.
Yeah, we're not sure on that.
Lescott against Sunderland as well on Saturday was phenomenal.
I like Gary Cahill.
Cahill. So who would be your starting... Who would be your starting pairing?
Me. Lescott and Cahill.
Lescott and Cahill for you. Si?
I don't know about Lescott. I always think he's got a...
He's still talking about...
I think he's got a...
He's got a rick in
potential it. Potential mistake. Yeah.
I would rather have Jack Yelker, to be honest.
No, I think Lescott offers you more.
This is what the podcast brings you. Dan's just come back from the bar. We're still talking about England. So I just want to get back involved.
Subject. I think Cahill would be...
But relevant.
First choice.
Yeah, very relevant.
I think Cahill and Lescott, I think.
I think... Lescott's underrated. If you look at Man City's defence since they've not been playing him,
Vincent Kompany.
Garth Crooks wants Gary Caldwell playing there.
Yeah, Colin Endre, bring him back. Right, one other thing I want to get your take on.
Bring him in.
The Puyol arm break.
Horrible.
We have not put it on the podcast site for a very prominent reason, because it is absolutely sickening.
Yeah.
If you want to watch it, go on YouTube, you'll be able to find it. But yeah, they reckon he's going to be back in a matter of weeks.
Of course, it's Carlos Puyol.
I'm surprised he didn't play in El Clasico, to be fair.
Just absolutely ridiculous. So with that in mind, I ask you to think about what's the worst injury you've ever... Well, you've suffered yourself, watched on TV and seen on TV, or have been at a game and sort. So I'll kick off. I can go down each flank. I've done my leg. I've done my ligaments in my leg, which had left it swinging off. The worst one I can remember seeing was actually David Boost.
I was going to say the same thing.
Coventry Villa. Right?
Well, David. No, it was Coventry versus United.
United was sick. Yeah.
What I remember from that is Brian McLaren.
When what sort of year are we talking about? 95?
That was 96, 97, I think, or 97, 98. Because I remember Brian McLaren towards the end of his United time went with David Boost to the hospital. He came on the pitch, held his hand on the stretcher as he went off, and then went with him to hospital. And
yeah. That was absolutely sick. And then the Arsenal Croatian, I can't remember his name.
Eduardo
de Silva. Yeah.
Which happened up at Birmingham. Very similar, because that was a little bit lower down, but the ankle.
I mean, I remember from that is just Martin Taylor. He got sent off for it, and I remember him almost in tears.
Yeah, he was walking down.
It was talking about Ryan Shawcross, wasn't it? He was in tears, wasn't he?
Yeah, that was Ramsey, wasn't it?
Right. And for all the criticism these players get, at least it shows there's not the intention to hurt. They might be a bit reckless.
I'm sorry, but I don't know... I don't think I could realistically name that many players that I've played with or know or have ever played against, or, and then you're talking about actual professional footballers that genuinely look like they, apart from Roy Keane, but that actually look like they want to hurt somebody.
Roy Keane, and okay, he came out and said,
all our Australian listeners are shouting Kevin Muscat.
You know what I mean? It's very, very rare that you find a player that genuinely tries. No, because Paul Scholes just shifted.
Paul Scholes admitted in his autobiography that sometimes he went in hard on players. Intention to hurt them.
I don't think they intend to break limbs, though, do they?
No,
that's the line, isn't it?
I love a hard tackle. I love going in. When you get man and ball and you're crunching the clash of the player, no, I don't want to injure him, but
you don't. And also, you don't go to break rules either, do you?
No, you go in to win the ball and the man, and a little bit after.
A little bit like the Suarez stuff that happened at the weekend, because
Hoof was going in. He was going to get the ball, but he really wanted to stab
There's a few really good clips that, wasn't it? Yeah. And you saw Suarez trying to do it to him a little bit later.
Yeah, you know exactly what he's doing. He's done it, and he's got a little bit after.
Interesting to my players not wanting to hurt, because obviously there was a bit of it to do with Ashley Cole and Alan Shearer.
Yeah.
At the weekend, and I watched the video, and Alan Shearer blatantly kicked Neil Lennon in the face back in 97.
Yeah, Phil was
that was unintentioned to hurt someone, and that was gruesome. That was if that was someone
completely flipping. Yeah, like Ferguson, but we're talking about tackles rather than incidents like that. But the worst one that I've seen live was at a game last season. Everyone will remember this, Chris Welpdale.
It
was the Boxing Day game against Crawley, and at the time, it's one of those horrible challenges where
they were
both
Day game,
well, I could just about remember it. They were both sort of going for it, and he raked his foot into his nether regions, and everyone sort of went, oh, that's going to hurt.
Broke his balls.
Split his testicles. But did you see the rugby player?
Yeah.
This weekend?
Yeah, you must have seen that.
Rugby
Challenge Cup final. Well, can you remember his name?
I can't remember his name, but
he lost the testicle. He played on.
He played on for the full half.
Another 20 minutes he played on for.
Is what you call putting it on.
But
online,
more than that, he did post-match interviews, collected his medal,
then went
to hospital, tweeted about it, and when he was leaving, said, just leaving hospital, sure I've forgotten something. Ruptured testicle.
And what he does is he said, I might now consider wearing protection. Might consider
So we have kids already.
Yeah, but he wants more.
Right, fair enough.
So, has anyone got any other injuries?
There are a couple. I saw live. I saw Dele Adebola basically wreck Chris Kirkland's Liverpool career. He was out for a year after a nasty challenge in the League Cup game.
And when I was final, wasn't it?
No, it was before that. I think it was
Dele Adebola, by the way, he's still absolutely doing a bit at Rochdale.
Yeah, I can't believe he's still playing.
Yeah, and he's bloody good as well. He bossed the Jules.
You've got to throw in. I've got another one, but you've got to throw in I suppose Cech and Terry, don't you? The two head injuries.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah. What's the other one? What was the other?
The other one it wasn't Palace related. When I was a kid, I used to have a season ticket at Dulwich Hamlet, and it was the last game of the season. It was a big promotion clash. I can't remember who they were playing. But obviously, they only had like one St John's ambulance person there, and the medical facilities weren't great.
Crap was stretching,
didn't
he?
Exactly. this guy
dragging him along.
Yeah, this guy playing for the other team.
He's going to tell us someone died on the pitch now, and we're all going to feel really bad.
He got a really bad head and neck injury, and we had to wait for 45 minutes until
the ambulance
turned up.
Yeah, I've got a couple. I mean, do they have to be football?
No.
All right.
We'll open it out as you're here.
Football first.
As it's the 100th show, mentioned rugby, we'll allow it.
All right, Terry Butcher, his head against Sweden.
Yeah.
Where England wore the whitest kit they'd ever worn. White shirts, white shorts, white socks.
Like
and he bled more than any human being has ever bled on a football pitch before. That's legendary. Henrik Larsson. And at Gillingham, Mark Saunders.
Everyone
like a gunshot.
Everyone heard his leg snap.
Gillingham the non-football one?
No. It started really bad and it got good, so bear with me. You've probably heard of him, Alex Zanardi. Right, former four-round driver, IndyCar driver. I watched a race live.
Yeah. He's got no legs.
He come out of the pit lane, he spun the car. The car hit him at 200 miles an hour. No, 192 miles an hour he was doing when it hit him.
Yep.
Right.
He lost, learning to describe that.
Yeah. Right, he lost both his legs. When the medic turned out, he said, his legs have gone. What do you mean his legs? No, his legs have gone. I think he lost three quarters of
his
blood.
How did they keep him alive? It's amazing that they kept him alive.
He came back. Not only did he come back and survive the accident, he raced in the German Touring Car Championship, and he raced in the World Touring Car Championship. I believe he won a race in the German Touring Car Championship.
With
no legs. All the controls were on the steering wheel of his BMW. Then he decided, okay, that's as much as we can do. The BMW people said, we can't do any more to sort of help you, so we're kind of phasing out what we've done for you. He said, right, okay, I've got an idea. He met a guy in a car park... Who he was arguing with over a disabled car parking space. This guy had a handbike on the roof of his car, and he said, "What's that?" He said, "It's a handbike." He said, "I'm in the Italian national team. I compete in the Olympics and stuff. Can you show me it?" So, in the end, they became best mates. He and this guy won the silver medal in the team pursuit at London 2012. Yep. Zanardi also won two gold medals at Brands Hatch.
What a legend.
This is he's probably in my top three all-time sporting heroes. The man lost both his legs, nearly lost his life, and he's a double Olympic gold medal winner.
Yeah.
And he's a former world champion motor
racer. Well, that play.
I mean, I have an injury that's going to pale in comparison.
Stop there.
We should just give up. Show 100 was the last show. Round of applause.
Mike got a nasty paper cut on the
team. It didn't happen to me, but it's more out of sort of the unfortunate circumstance. So I used to be player manager of a team back home called Shambles United.
Shambles United.
We were named for a reason.
Yeah,
and we played seven aside. We were all mates from sixth form. We're playing 1892 Lostock, who were the best team in the league. They'd been demoted for some reason. It was kind of like Juventus going down. But we were about 7 or 8 nil down at the time, and my friend Matt Parton took this shot right to the face, lost, I would say, 4 or 5 teeth.
Hossam Ghali.
He was quite a pretty boy as well, so it didn't do him any favours. The fact that he went bald as well didn't help either. Hello, Matt.
I bet he can whistle well now, though.
But even worse, he went off to hospital. And we lost 15-1.
After he left, you got a goal.
We did get a goal. Luke Parry's got a tap in. Yeah.
Well, I bet he's given the surnames of everyone as well.
My two injuries. My one where I literally entirely broke my shoulder was jumping for a left foot volley on the edge of the area. Got taken out my right foot.
Showing off.
Landed about... No, completely no.
Did
landed,
you score?
Landed on my shoulder. No, Move landed on. On my shoulder, got carried
side,
off, threw off,
side.
Threw up on the sideline straight away. That was horrible. But my favourite sporting injury, I think, is when I was playing again at uni. Mate of mine scored a great goal. One of our other teammates, my housemate at the time, ran over, jumped on him to celebrate on his back. Has completely put his back out. The guy's gone down. The game got cancelled, and we had to wait 45 minutes for an ambulance to turn up.
So it's the most embarrassing injury you've ever had.
Well, we can have to come on back.
That's a podcast later.
When he met someone in a car park. Nice. Any other injuries, or should we...
talking about teams to pay for, my mate Brad, he was a...
Always mention Brad.
He fancied himself as a goalkeeper, when he really wasn't. He was more of a sort of a galloping centre-half with no positional sense. But, in a warm-up, teams that know what they're doing, they'll
do... Cones, bibs.
Right, yeah. Teams like us, put someone in goal, ping shots at
them,
right?
Yeah.
So Brad said, right, I'll go in goal, lads. And he's just like, I'm not going to save anything with my hands. I'm going to save everything with my feet or with my head. So we're pinging shots at him. So we're purposely trying to chip him. And we draw him off his line, chip him. Just go straight in under the crossbar. He performs a picture-perfect semi-bicycle kick. I say semi because he only got halfway round before his studs got caught in the net. Where he catches the crossbar.
Athletic.
And there was probably... It's probably only like a split second. It felt like... A good 2 seconds that he was hanging. It was just long enough for him to stick his arm out to break his fall, and then of course the studs left, went straight down on his hand. There was a crack, he broke his arm. All 15 of us fell around laughing.
As you do.
And then he was like, no, actually I think he might have broke his arm. And our goalkeeper, who was the only one who had a fast car, said, right, I'll take it to the... Yeah, very good. There's one for the teenagers. Drove him off to the hospital.
Good work.
Your goalkeeper had a car, yet Brad was playing in goal.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Ben the goalie was pinging shots at Brad. So, I mean, we all were, but he tried a bicycle kick, got his foot caught in there, broke his arm.
Right, let's move on. Jay, I'm going to come to you. We'll come back to Naughty Boys in a minute, don't worry. But just as a little interlude, give us a foreign league update. What league are you doing?
La Liga.
And make it quick. All right, La Liga.
All right.
Well, we know it was 2-2, wasn't it?
El Clasico at the weekend.
That's a very blank sheet of paper you've got there.
Is it just the league
table? It's got all the club badges.
It's white text and a white background.
I've got it in hand, don't worry.
It's a magic marker.
To be fair, it was 2-2, wasn't it, in the amount of players you need on the pitch, because you basically need Messi and Ronaldo and goalkeepers on each side.
So it was like the Messi and Ronaldo show.
What a free kick from Messi, wasn't it?
He didn't have a great game, I don't think. Me and Sean had a discussion. I don't think we had a great game, but he had a top draw free kick. I think both of Ronaldo's goals were really good as well. So it was
not a bad result for either team, to be honest, though, is it?
The worst difference for Madrid.
Yeah, but they were at Nou Camp. They'll take a point.
I thought all four of the goals were... I'm getting to Alan Hansen mode. They were all bad goals to concede.
The free kick.
Free kick was a stupid foul.
Yeah.
Everything else was bad defending. There were no moments of magic.
Well, when you play, I think Barcelona's defensive. I don't know what they're doing. They don't buy defenders. They buy midfielders. Yeah. Adriano and Mascherano,
wasn't it?
Adriano and Mascherano at the
back. Strange. That's what they've got to do.
But anyway,
Real Madrid won't lose another game in October. Jose Mourinho has not lost a single game in October since 2004 against Man City.
Yeah,
which is very, very random stat.
Which was his first loss as Chelsea manager, but he hasn't lost a single game at any of his teams in October since 2004.
I don't think they can afford to lose any games. Actually.
Well, no, they're because it's a bit of a points difference.
Yeah. They're
it's a good stat though. Just throwing a stat in there for you.
I like it. 8 points behind. Barcelona at the moment, they've lost two games already, which they did the whole of last season, so it's going to be an uphill struggle. And there's obviously some sort of dressing room divisions in Real Madrid at the moment, with obviously this the Portuguese speaking people, like you've got Pepe and stuff like that, and
Ronaldo
and stuff.
Marcelo.
I think it's going to be a big test for Barcelona when they do eventually lose a game,
yeah.
Because at the moment. I don't even know the new manager's name. Excuse me,
Tito Villanova.
Yeah.
He's come in.
Sounds
and at the
like a Western.
It sounds quite a Western character. Sounds like quite a
Villanova. Tito Villanova.
Well, but hear me out on this and see if anyone agrees or disagrees. Quite happy. He's come in and they're just sort of ticking over from the Guardiola era. But when they lose their first game, that is when his managerial skills are going to come into question. And is he going to be able to, when they come across a crisis or a couple of defeats or they start dropping points, that's when you're going to really see him as a manager. I think it happens quite often that a new manager will come in and they'll just keep, if they don't been doing well, they'll keep doing well.
That's intelligent, what he's doing.
You're not going to change anything if you don't have to. When it comes to a stage where he is going to have to change it, that's the key test, I think, for that Barcelona team.
Well, they say, he was at with the Barcelona BC with Guardiola as well, yeah. They've grown up together in a coaching sort of era, and apparently he wasn't like just a yes man for Guardiola. He always put his point across. He's got the credentials.
Who's in the relegation zone as well?
Zone at the moment. We've got Espanyol, Osasuna, and Deportivo.
Am I right in thinking
Espanyol have never been outside of the Spanish top five?
Are they the Everton of Spain?
They are, yeah.
They're
not nearly as big as Everton, because Everton have won the league. But
they haven't won a game all season.
I think Espanyol have never been out of the top flight.
They're Barcelona's other team.
Yeah.
Second team in it.
The thing I want to know is what is going to happen to the referee from that game, the Clasico.
You think he had a good game?
Well,
was his first?
No. Every time a referee
was it
referee,
Stuart Atwater?
No, every time a ref refs a Clasico game in Barcelona, he's contractually obliged to give him a penalty, isn't he?
Yeah, well, that is true.
Standard. Yeah. Or give Messi a free kick. Messi will do the same with a free kick.
He didn't give one, did he? So I doubt we'll see him.
I thought he had a good game when he was his first El Clasico.
Jay, that's bloody beautiful. Thanks.
I have a point on foreign leagues, and this is, I think, equally as big as the Spanish league. We all follow Maltese football.
Which team is it? Valletta?
This is Floriana FC.
Yeah, okay, that would have been our next one.
Finished fourth last season. They're currently seventh. They're managed by Mark Wright, former England and Liverpool.
Really?
Former Derby, yeah, legend. They've got a...
Not the guy from Towie.
Freckly centre.
No, not the guy from Towie, luckily. If only we could send him abroad. But, they're in talks to sign Tony Warner and Francis Jeffers.
Dream team.
Francis Jeffers is off to Malta.
He's been binned off by the Newcastle Jets, hasn't he?
Has he really?
Yeah, he was there last season.
But he can't get ahead of Emil Heskey.
Talking of which, let's come to Dan Silver while we've still got time. The big news is we've had a sit down. We've decided that we are Melbourne Heart supporters for another season in the A-League. Yeah. Is that correct?
What have you done with it? Give it.
I nearly swallowed that.
That'll do.
If you had and it got wedged in your throat the whole day, every time you breathe.
How's it going, Chuck? But
So it's official.
You've signed a new contract.
We've signed a new contract with Melbourne Heart.
And we're being followed by the
chairman,
the CEO,
Scott Munn.
Scott Munn. Yeah. So hello, Scott. If you're listening,
I'll tell you what. If Scott wants to pay for us to fly out to Melbourne,
I'd consider
it. I'd take that.
At the very least, six Melbourne Heart shirts would go down quite nicely as well.
And some meat from Fred's Barbecue. Because we do like a Fred Barbecue. Let's let Dan speak about, because I didn't see the game, but apparently you boys all watched it.
Yeah,
well, I wasn't in the office on Friday.
I'm hoping none of our senior management listen to this podcast. I'm pretty sure they don't. But Shawnee and I made sure that...
You're right, Dave.
Shawnee and I made sure that we had it on in the background, streaming it while we were at work.
I love the fact we're now watching the games live from the office. We did a few last season, didn't
That's
we?
Right, yeah.
Damn right. And yeah, it was the kickoff of the A League,
and what a way to kick off
it was the Melbourne Derby.
Fantastic.
I think what was fantastic is that in front of a crowd at the Etihad Stadium.
They played it in Manchester.
Not in Manchester. Of, of just over 42,000. That's a great attendance, and it was a great game. Hart went 1-0 up early doors through David Williams.
Have they still got Bob Alge?
No, he's gone. He's gone to Europe, isn't he?
Yeah, he's gone to.
I don't care where he's gone.
No, he's gone. I know, it's a shame because he was a lovely. We liked him. But
I like that. But there'll be some people chuckling away at that, Coxon. Yeah, go on.
10 minutes later, victory equalised. and in first half stoppage time, Hart went 2-1 up and held on for the victory to win 2-1.
They're held on for the victory against victory.
Yeah. Oh, so many showed puns in there. Showed a lot of heart, yeah.
That's not a pun, that's just.
A fantastic first result for Hart. It turns out we're not the only, and I use this term in inverted commas, famous fans of Hart.
I'm glad you use the inverted commas.
We are not the only famous fans of Hart, because earlier on in the day, before the derby, they had a visit from Usain Bolt.
No way!
It's not John Bon Jovi, though. John Bon Jovi's got two lifetime memberships.
Yeah. It's true, but who was presented the number 12 shirt.
He
loves it.
He can't get in the United squad.
Melbourne Heart. Next best thing.
He was there in a training session with the youngsters, and training with the kids.
Well, sorry, I thought you said he was at the train station.
That's
an entirely different slide. story.
Great start for Hart.
Do you know when the next game is?
This weekend.
Do you know who they got or anything like that?
No, nothing like that.
Australia United.
That will. Hope not. No, but the not such a good start for both Del Piero and Heskey.
Heskey looks lazy, and I saw this on Mirror Football. Lazy and disinterested.
He's always looked like that.
He's still got it. He's still got it.
They both lost 2-0. Sydney and Newcastle. Western Sydney drew their opening game, yeah. So that was a good start for them, but
who cares, it's
all about the Hart.
Come on the Hart.
Send us more memorabilia.
Yeah. I've got a couple of my favourite quotes of the week.
Okay.
I like something a bit different. I got my favourite quotes of the week. Obviously, I know we talk about him far too much.
Are any of them from Ibrahimovic?
No, unfortunately. But we have Joe Barton. Who had a very random Twitter rant the other day.
Really? It's funny, no?
I think some people were... a few Twitter users slightly pissed him off. And one of his tweets was...
One of them.
I've heard that drink... Yeah, no, I'm picking out the two favourite ones. I've heard that drinking a pint of mercury really improves your IQ. Some of you should try it.
Ouch.
Bit harsh, Joey. Yeah. Followed up by...
It's also wrong.
Yeah,
I mean, it's very wrong.
Yeah,
I
think that's
the
whole point.
He clearly doesn't know enough about the periodic table.
No, he doesn't.
And the other one was, I had his massive rant, and my point was, I think this is the definition of irony right here. So he had his massive rant, and he said, apart from that, all the non-stupid out there, have a lovely day, all the thick, go fuck yourselves.
You spell it N-U-N?
N-O-N-E. All the non-stupid out there, have a lovely day, all the thick, go fuck yourselves, which is delightful.
I bet there are a lot of stupid nuns having a great day, and I bet there are a lot of idiots having a nice wank, so everybody wins.
Right. My favourite quote of the week, hang on, no, Colin, this is brilliant, about shit, and this is actually funny.
Silence for Dan Silver. This is going to be the best thing ever on the podcast.
Brilliant. It's about Leeds United, and it's about from their potentially future chief exec, the chief exec of GFH, who is looking to take over this month. Leeds is like a young Pamela Anderson. It's in great shape with superb assets and a great future ahead of her.
Yeah, but that didn't work out pretty well.
Got hepatitis, did it?
Sean, We've had a foreign update from Jay, which you're going to hear more of later. Not today, don't worry. We'll finish in about 2 minutes. Sean is doing our FA Cup update. So we are now following the FA Cup from the fourth qualifying round.
The third qualifying round.
It's the fourth qualifying round.
On the fourth qualifying round. Eight all conference ties in there.
Yeah, so there's going to be
12. Yeah. So there's going to be a lot of lower and
teams.
Also the fact that one team that got through to the fourth qualifying round, it's called South Park.
I like that. I do like that. Do you remember when we used to follow Hastings United?
Yeah.
There was a guy called Sean Ray, who was their bruiser of a centre-back.
Yeah.
He's now player-manager.
Yep.
And they are... I'll let Sean carry on.
They went away to Hitchin Town.
In the replay, on Tuesday.
On Tuesday, exactly right. And they won 2-1. The first goal for Hastings United was scored by Bradley Goldberg. If anyone remembers a short...
Is he Jewish?
He is Jewish.
Listen.
If you remember an ill-fated short ownership of Crystal Palace by Mark Goldberg.
Yeah. Is it his son?
It is his son. Yeah, he used to play for Charlton Youth and now he's at Hastings United.
Oh, that's a glowing endorsement of the youth policy, isn't it?
He's scored 5 goals so far this season.
Good knowledge!
So, yeah.
He's done a bit of Hastings knowledge.
Done a little bit.
So who are they playing next round? So they won.
They
won.
Sean
Kenny Pogue play? Is he still there? Have a look.
No, he didn't.
He was always super bench, wasn't he?
Sean Ray managed to give away a penalty.
He gave himself a stern.
Frendo Buggins scored for Hitchin, didn't he?
Frendo got the goal for Hitchin. And Sean Ray pops up with a winner.
It's the player, man. I didn't even know that.
He's redeemed himself.
He's actually following us on the football podcast as well. So we've got the CEO of Melbourne Heart and the player manager of Hastings United following us this week.
Nice.
So their next game is at home to
Pontefield against Blackfield and Langley.
Okay.
They're playing the Wessex League. This is their first
Wessex
ever.
Wessex don't even exist anymore.
And that's the fourth qualifying round. If Hastings win that, that's the first round proper.
Nice. First time in the fourth round for 10 years for Hastings and the first time ever for Blackfield and Langley.
So basically what we're going to do is whoever wins that game will then follow them in the next round and we'll go all the way through to the final.
That's
so
right.
Hopefully, my mum and dad both born in Hastings, so Hastings United are my team in the FA Cup. Yeah. I really hope they get through and we'll follow them in the first round.
You've got
so.
A very quick naughty boy.
Okay.
Is it Usain Bolt?
No, it's pretty impressive. It's Jonathan Legear, a Belgian football player.
We knew who he was. I said
a Belgian football player. Shut up, we haven't got long.
Jonathan Legear,
who is facing a driving ban after crashing his porch into a petrol.
His porch? He's crashed his porch?
The caravan.
Oh my god! That was in the wrong gear.
It's ruined all his coats.
He's crashed his porch. Straight into a petrol station. Instead of hitting the brake, he hit the accelerator and went movie style straight into a Texaco or something. No, he's not, but he nearly killed a geezer in the shop.
Where's he going to keep his copy of the Yellow Pages?
In his porch.
We'll also have a stand down for the Millwall fans, allegedly. We've got to mention that. We're a topical show. So, right, we're moving down. I have got a Hogwarts for you next week in the form of Chooks Aniki. We'll go there next week. Follow us www.footballpubcast.co.uk. Email us banter@footballpubcast.co.uk. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/thefootballpubcast. Complaints, ladies and gentlemen, too.
Where are they, Ty?
Me.
Complaints to Simon Heads. You can also follow Glossop, who we were talking about earlier, at Glossop North End. Follow us on Twitter at Football Podcast and go on the site www.footballpodcast.co.uk. As I mentioned, just before we go, we have got another review.
Yay! Yeah.
It's from
you've been away too long, sir. It's from BL_MCFC. It's a 5-star rating as usual.
Yeah.
Been listening since the end of last season and it's excellent. Basically, it's a bunch of guys in the boozer talking about football and having a laugh, although we are outside today. P.S. Motherwell playing Clambert and Amber, not Orange.
Hey!
So I do like that. So a really big up to that. BL_MCFC. He also tweeted me last night, but I don't want to talk about that.
And
he knows what I'm talking about as well.
Good
Dan, have you got something else before we sign off?
I'll just say I'll put the video up after this goes before this goes up, actually, of Adebayor's new advert for Power Horse energy drink.
You used to drink it?
Yeah, they used to sell that in Bar Rio.
Absolutely shocking.
We're going to discuss Power Horse.
Simon
See you later.
Goldberg, who's next?
Happy 100, everyone. Happy 100.
Yay.